I think one of the most important things that we need to have in our life is we have to have faith in God. It's one of the rudimentary principles that we have to have. We must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must believe in God. We live in a very turbulent time, or at least in my mind we do. Probably you'll agree with me. A lot of uncertainties, a lot of things happening that's always been around, but they're intensifying. The evil of our times intensifying. The secular nature of our society is becoming stronger, and the moral and religious is becoming weaker. And it brings a lot of challenges to our minds. But you know what the answer of it is? Having faith in God. It's faith in God that's going to get us through. You see, when we're uncertain, He's not. God's not uncertain today. When we hear news and we begin to worry, He ain't worried. When we don't have understanding about the issues, He don't lack a bit. God is totally in control today. And what we lose is when we'll become like Peter was when we get our eyes off the Lord. With the storms, with the things that go on around our life, whether they're personal or whether they're national or local, whatever the situation is, when we look at it and get our eyes off of Christ, we're going to have the same response that Peter had. Because you can't stand by yourself at this time. You can't do it. There'll be a sinking happening. I want to encourage us today to have faith in God. In all your life, have faith in God that He's not worried. You ever get confused? He's not confused. God's not confused today about it. You look at it and say, it's too big for me. It's not too big for God today. The things that's going on in our world is not too big for God. I was down in La Raja this past Thanksgiving weekend, some of the young guys got a football game going, flag football. So I went out and joined them. We all got on my team, and the game started, and we all went into a huddle and got together and got our heads down, and somebody said, "What's the plan?" Well, there was no plan. Well, because there wasn't a plan, we didn't do too good. Because in everything we do, there's a plan, isn't there? I mean, you think about if you ladies go to make something. I know there's people that can do it from the head, but there's still a plan in there. But you want to make curtains, or you want to make a dress or something. You usually got a pattern or a plan. You got something to go by to say, I got something in mind. Well, I'm not just starting out and throwing it together and saying, well, I got some cloth here and I'll start sewing, and if it turns out to be a dress, all right, and if it's not, I'll hang it on the windows, it's a curtain. You don't do that because it don't work that way. If you want to get something done, you're going to make it that way. And Brother Philip, I know, is a carpenter and has built some cabinets and stuff. You start out with measurements to what it's going to fit into. What are you going to build? It's all a plan. Many times they're drawn out into a plan or figured way in advance because there's an objective to get there. There's an objective. This is what we want it to be, and this is how we're going to do it to get it to go that way. And that's why our football game didn't go so well, because there was no plan. There was no plan, and I was going to quarterback, so I said, just everybody go out for a pass while it was a constricted field, and they were just running about, and I remember getting them back after about two plays and said, we need a plan. we need to come up with something better than this, because this is not going to work just being haphazard and throwing it out there. God did not just throw this thing out there. He did not just throw this out there. The workings of His universe are perfectly planned. You know, there's a real thing out there in the world today. It's mostly in the political world, but they say that, they really call people that would believe, that would be so ignorant to believe that God created the world in 6 days. That they're totally, it's so ignorant, and they're ashamed of that. And that's such a bad thing. You'd be so ignorant to actually say that the Lord created the world in 6 days. So I'm going to confess to you something here this morning. I'm ignorant. I'm very ignorant because I believe God created the earth, the world, the universe in 6 days. And you know why I believe that? Because He said He did. That's what He said He did. And you know what? You can go into all the theological arguments of what all that means. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know. But I know if He said it, I'm going to believe it because it's my choice to believe God. He's been right in everything else. He's always right in my life. He's always faithful in my life. So I'm going to go ahead and believe He done it in 6 days. And I can be ignorant with that, and it's okay with me. Because God got a plan. And I want us to know today that God's got a plan for you. It isn't haphazard. We're not flung out there. We aren't at the whims of this world. You got to believe that today if you're going to be successful. If you're going to make what God wants you to make, you've got to believe that you're a part of a design. There's a plan. God's got a plan for you in this day and time that you're going to be successful if you follow that plan. Many people's plans have gone awry. It hasn't turned out the way they wanted it to. They make plans. Humans make plans. We make plans. The government makes plans on how the government runs best. They make plans and ideas. And often they're faulty. Often they fail. My plans will fail and your plans will fail too. Most of the time, if it's got to do with spiritual things, they'll fail. If it's got to do with what brings happiness, most of the time, they'll fail. Because as humans, we don't choose the right things. We don't go the right directions. But God has a plan. I want to get a real basis of that today, but God has a plan. He has always had one. Over in Revelations, in the 13th chapter of Revelations, in the 8th verse it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Do you know that God had a plan? God had a plan in His creation. He planned. He made it all to work. And do you know the salvation was a plan of God? All the way back in the original mind of God when He made man, He didn't just say, well, if what if? That's the way we do things. Let's make it up to this one. We'll say, well, what if this happens? Well, we'll just deal with it. If it happens, we'll just deal with it. You ever go through it like that? Well, we'll just face it as it comes, or we'll just do something. God did not do that. God made a plan. God had something in His heart and in His mind. Do you know there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth? From the very beginnings, there was a lamb slain. There was a plan made that Christ would do something for us. He's able to do something for us, see. And that was the plan all the way back. God made a plan for fallen man. A plan that's going to work, folks. You know, we look at it today. I know there's a lot of speculation. And does religion work? And does this work? No, religion don't work. God's plan works, though. Salvation works. And He's got a plan. You know what His plan was? It don't make hardly sense to the human mind. But God planned from the foundation of the earth that His Son was going to come to this earth as a baby. Yes, why a baby? Why did He? Because He wanted to know it. He wanted to experience that. It's a human experience. Do you know Jesus experienced childhood? Yes, you know, there's problems in childhood, isn't there? Jesus experienced childhood. He experienced adolescence. He experienced it as a human, not as God. He experienced it as a human being. God had a plan to send His Son down here, and He was born in a manger. Why in a manger? Why not in a palace? Why in a manger? God had a plan. Because He wanted people to accept the plan. He wanted us to know that He knows. He knows. We need to have faith in God. Your plight today is not a plight not understood. God understands it. Jesus understands it. People will say, nobody understands me. To some degree, you may be right. But I want to tell you, Jesus understands you today. And the reason is because He made a plan. And you're in the plan. The plan wasn't, though, you know, this is what, you know, is termed Christmas time. I like it. I like all the thought of it. I like the thought of the Lord. Oh, the rest of it is not important, but I like the idea of Jesus. I like when the world has to deal with it. I don't know when they deal with it. You know, Paul said one time about the whole thing. He said, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached and I rejoice. You know, if they're going, even when there's somebody's out there saying, oh, this Jesus stuff, don't even know if He lived. Well, you're sure saying His name and it's all right with me because you're telling somebody that 2,000 years plus and somebody's still mentioning His name. So mention His name. Say it out there. I like it. God has a plan. But you know, it wasn't just that we recognized that there was a little baby born one time. That little baby needed to live a life and grow up. And He did. And the Scripture says that He done it without sin. And I believe that. I believe that He did. Bible says He was born of a virgin. That's a contradiction in the world. I believe it anyway. He was. I believe that. I have faith in that. That's a part of the plan. The plan was that this one called Christ would come to the place that He would die on a cross. It's part of the plan. So see, the Lord did not haphazardly throw things out there to let a course go, but He made a plan in that. And do you know that you're in the plan? In the great heart of God, you are in that plan. And God has something for each and every one of us in that plan. And we need to have faith enough to get it. Because I believe this today. I believe the only thing that foils the plan is the choice that He made man with. But God still got a plan for you today. Let's turn to a scripture in the 16th chapter of Luke. I'm sure this is a familiar story. It says in the 19th verse, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Well, would I be fair in saying that the Lord don't care about people that's dressed in purple and fares fine every day? Would I be fair to say the Lord don't care about those kind of people at all? No, I wouldn't be fair to say that. The Lord's very much interested in people that are dressed in their fine linens. And the Lord cares for all people. The Lord has a plan for all people in their lives. And here was a certain man that I believe God plan applied to him as much as it applies to anyone else. And you know what God does in the lives of men? He sets the things in their lives for the ultimate possibility of knowing their Savior. I believe He did it for this man, but He done it in an unusual way. Sometimes the Lord speaks in a dream as unto a king, Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord cared for Nebuchadnezzar, or He wouldn't have gave him a dream at all. Let him go His way. But the Lord didn't. The Lord had a plan for Nebuchadnezzar in the days of Daniel. And for His people. And He had a plan. And other kings have done that too. And God was dealing with the kings of the land. And I pray often of our president and of our... I don't think we should belittle or make fun. I think we ought to pray for the leaders of our land. I think we ought to love them and pray God would give good things in their life and visit them with dreams. And visit them with events in their life and touch their hearts to righteousness. He visited this man in an unusual way.
It says that, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores.
Do you know that was a plan of God? Here was a plan of God for two people, Lazarus and the rich man. Have faith in God today. Believe in God. Have faith that God sets the tone of your life. Have faith in God that the things that come into your life are of God, and therefore they have great purpose. They have great purpose in it. It isn't just things to take indifferently, but God has a purpose and a plan. And that plan, when I give myself to that plan, it will bring great joy to my own life. No matter what it is, no matter how hard it is, God has chosen this element for my life. Lazarus was laid at his door. Why? For eternity. For eternity. That rich man had an opportunity given right at his doorstep to find the real meanings of life. Because you know what this scripture doesn't say? Lazarus was a poor man, full of sores and laid there, sick. But I know this of Lazarus because of what the end of it was. See, I can go backwards on the plan because I know what the results is. When I go into a fine kitchen that one of these real craftsmen's made, I can go in there and backtrack and say they had a plan to what they've done because I see the results of what they've done. I can see what Lazarus had because I've seen where he ended up. I'm going to tell you, there was a man that was laying there at the rich man's gate with grace filling his heart. There was a man there that had nothing, but he had contentment with life and the time that he had. He had faith in God laying there. He had something that the rich man, with all of his riches, couldn't buy. And it was placed there for him to be able to get the witness of that and know that what I have doesn't measure up to value of what this man has. Folks, listen, we look at it naturally without faith wrong so many times. We look at this situation and think that how great it would be to be the rich man and how pitiful it is to be the Lazarus. Oh, you look wrong. You look wrong. It was not Lazarus that had it bad, only on this side. Lazarus had something inside him that was worth more than all the riches of the rich man. Was Lazarus placed there? Maybe it's true he was placed there from the natural, the secular, the carnal. He was laid there to get good from the rich man. The rich man had the provisions of this natural life that he could have had. So yes, the ones that laid him there knowing this is the rich man's house. Didn't lay him at a poor man's house. He laid him at the rich man's house in hopes that there would be pity showed on him of the rich man. But you think that was God's plan? Or was the God's plan to lay the true riches of gold and of faith and of grace at the rich man's door to say, you haven't come to get it, so I brought it to you. A plan of God. How often we won't accept the plan of God in our life. And I want to encourage us today that there's a plan. We don't have to wallow. There's a plan for our lives. God has a plan that He brings to us. I'm so thankful God's got a plan for our lives. And we do and accomplish and get there in ways. And to me, I'll give you some of my testimony. It is astounding to me that God could ever do with me what He does. It's just astounding to me what He does. And I'll look and say, impossible, Lord. Impossible that you could have done it. But He did. He did it. I never could have imagined being a preacher. And I tried to imagine it and couldn't hardly think. I couldn't do it. I despise the thought of speaking in front of anybody. I couldn't do those things. How can you get from that mind to this one? How can you get there? God, had a plan. He had a plan, and he knew me better than I knew myself. That's why he don't give you my plan. But he knows how to work with me, and God knew that I needed. Some people don't need so much the step by step. They can just jump, depending on how God had made. But I wasn't that way. So the Lord knew he had to work, build me to a plan and get it to working. He knew how he had to work with me. He knew how he had to inspire. He knew how he had to. He still knows how he's got to do it. He still knows. But you know what? He's got a plan. And it works. God's plan works. I want to encourage you today. God's got a plan for your life. And it'll work for you. It'll work, and God will be faithful to you in it. But don't despise the elements of it. Understand what I'm saying? There's where we miss it. The rich man could have despised the element of the poor man and never got his blessing. He didn't get it. I don't know what the relationship was, but the rich man did not get the plan because he lifted his eyes up in hell, and it wasn't God's plan that he lift his eyes up in hell. It was God's plan that he learned the value of the riches of God's grace in his heart. The faith that he could have had in God and what the reality of life is really about. That you don't take this stuff with you anyway. That there's something more valuable over there. He had all those things. He had some knowledge of them, but he never really gave his heart to it. But God gave him the chance, the opportunity. He laid it before him to see it, to understand it, to know it. You know, we have a wonderful heritage. I'm talking about not being a Clevenger from West Virginia. I'm talking about the saints. I'm talking about the people of God. I ain't putting it down there. I'm talking about the heritage of faith. The heritage of people that went before us. Now, I'd like to do something here just a minute. I'm curious. How many people in here has ever read Brother Sammons's little book they published, From Darkness to Light? I really would like to show of hands if you don't want to do it, but I'd like to know how many people has read the book, Brother Sammons's book. Have you ever read that, From Darkness to Light? How about Brother Willie Murphy's book? I think it was a book that he had. Anybody read that book? I mean, Murphy Allen. I'm sorry. Murphy Allen's book. How many has read that book? Life's Golden Gleanings. Who wrote that book? Who? Oh, Brother Stover. Anybody read that? How many? Oh, Brother Fred Pruitt's book. Sister Margaret X's book. Is there anyone in here under 30 years old that's read any of them? That's good. There's a few in here. You know what? It'd be good to read them. I know it's of ages gone by, but folks, I'm going to tell you something. We lose something if we ain't very careful. We lose something of faith if we ain't very careful. And what God did in a plan to get that to those people, it would do us good to revisit some of those kind of places, I believe. To be able to be inspired by the life that they lived. It was just a life lived. Any of us can do it in God. God's not a respecter of persons. But I say that to try to encourage us that we not miss the plan of God in our lives. Because I believe these men found that plan. I believe they planned and they experienced it, and they wanted it shared with others, so they wrote it. And the things that they went through, you and I won't relate to. If we're not, we won't relate to the time that they lived in and the element they lived in and the faith that they grasped a hold of. We won't relate to it, hardly. And I'm telling you, I can be awed by and saying, you know, I travel around, and Lord help us, I travel around, I don't travel like they did. I don't. I go to meetings, I busy myself, I try to do what the Lord was, but when I look at it, I'm not challenged with the life that they were challenged with. I'm not challenged with the stress, the struggle that they are in the same sense. The financial struggle. I'm not struggling with it the same way. But I've got to find God's plan for my life. You understand what I'm saying? Because we're struggling with pressures and we're struggling with the way the world is. We're struggling with spiritual things. We're struggling with that. And we need the same faith. I'm not looking, but just because one of them smashed their thumb and it hurt, and I don't mean I go and do it on purpose. I don't go to purposely. But I need to find the same faith. The same plan. God's got a plan for every one of us in our own time and place. And God wants to bless us. And He knows all these things too. And so what does He do? He puts the things in our life that He knows will bring out the same kind of passion and faith and those kind of places in our life too. But what, Lord help us not, you know, sometimes we'll get these little gadgets or these little things and they come in a box and there's a lot of pieces on it, and we'll pull them things out and I'll start to put them together. I know there's instructions in that box. Instructions are last resorts to some of us guys. You don't want to start off with the instructions. I like to start off with the picture. I look at the picture on the box. Now pull out the parts and I look and see. And I find out though that sometimes in them instructions it says that you got to do A before you do B. And then I have to go backtracking because I put B together before A, and then you can't put A or B before A. You got to do A and then B. And there's instructions in there, and there's a plan to get it all together, and God's got that plan for your life today. He's got a plan, but you got to put it in the right order. You can't go beyond. Folks, listen. Do you know a right heart's first? It is. You got to have it made right. You got to get it right before you and God. Forget the missionary work. Forget the outreach. Forget all that. Get it right and then go to the B. Get it right in your heart. Have something. I'm saying have something. You got to understand. I mean have something that you can honestly say, not somebody else, but me. But me. God done a work on me. I got it. And I can say it out. I can say it. God's done something. He's helped me. Over and over and over. God's been faithful. When I go to talk to somebody that's down and out and discouraged and all that, I don't know. Sometimes words are, what can you say? A lot of times, you know, something I can always say. If you'll trust in the Lord, He won't fail you. Amen. I can say that positively today. You have faith in God and you'll come out. I told somebody just since we got here, one thing I'm convinced of. You keep going, you're going to make it. I'm convinced of it. You don't give up and you're going to make it. Because the Lord said you would. Because the Lord's on your side. Because the Lord's got a plan. And in a part of that plan is sometimes, for different ones, is this things in your life that you got to go. And you know what it proves? And the Lord loves it. We are proving we love Him. Not because it's easy, but because I will keep going. Lord, I love you enough to keep going. I know I'm weak. I know that I look feeble. I know I'm not always dancing on top of it. But Lord, I love you. And the Lord is so pleased. You'll go ahead and go through that for me. Thank God. And that's a plan. You know, we need God's plan in our life. I want to look at another scripture in Thessalonians 5. Five and 18 says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Now, let's just get down to it here. Are you willing to give thanks? For all things and in all things, the Bible says to give thanks. Now that gets pretty tough. Somebody just gives you a good going over. Thank you, Lord. Well, now, I remember David said, let him be. The Lord has said, curse David. So, okay, we'll take that one. But, okay, something happens and I just lost a lot. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord. That's faith, isn't it? It's faith in God. Can you and do you thank God? It's what the Lord wants us to do. Be thankful in all things. But this scripture tells us why. It's not that it feels good, look good. It's not that it always is pleasant. It's not that it's always comfortable. Not that it's always easy. It's that it's the plan. It's the plan to go to heaven. It's the will of God concerning you. Should we give thanks? Yes. Yes, Lord, help us to have faith to give thanks. Accept the plan that's in our lives. Accept that moment. Accept that time. Accept that place. I found over and over, about the time that I really think I'm going, Lord always puts something in there to just make me know who I am. And it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty to me. It ain't pretty. It just ain't pretty. But it's necessary. And the Lord has a plan to do that. And I'm so thankful that the Lord inserts into my life His plans. And you know what? I can either accept the plan or I can not accept the plan. I can ignore that plan. I don't have to do that. Lord says you don't have to do it or not do it. Here's the plan. And say, yes, Lord, thank you that this moment has arrived in my life. Thank you that I'm going through this time. Thank you for this position that I'm in. Thank you for this. It's so meaningful. It's so right for me. I was listening. I have it on audio. The story of the hiding place. Corey Ten Boom's hiding place. And there's just a couple things in that that was a real challenge to me. And it was the mindset of how they dealt with the ones that had done them wrong. Now, I'm not talking about not shaking your hand at the door. I'm talking about intense evil, wrong, against the person, against their integrities, against everything about them. How to deal with it. It was a real challenge. And they challenged it this way, that God has a plan. And it's built into His workings, and He's made a way, and this is the answer. Let love conquer. Don't be bitter. When we're in a battle for our souls, can we, by the grace of God, love through this all? And do you know what was amazing? If the story is true, and I'll take the testimony, not only because it was the way it was written, but because I know the Lord. He's got grace for it. That it is possible to love your enemy. It is possible to show a greater cause, the greater plan. It is possible to show, in the midst of the hardest struggles, it is possible to show the great grace and love of God. It is God's calling on every one of our lives to show His amazing grace in that problem, in that time. If you're someone that don't have a saved companion and you struggle with that, it is your lot called of God to show the grace of God in that. And God's got grace for it. If you're someone that's been terribly done injustice, it's God's calling to your life. It's His plan to show people that around in the world, there's something better than having bitterness and hardship. You can have the grace of God and love in your heart. You can. You can, because He made a plan. He didn't die on that cross in vain. He died for victory. He died for our plan. He died for that purpose. Over there in, I think Brother Leslie may have quoted that scripture last night or read it over in Romans 12. But it's talking about, well, let's look at that. I just did it. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. The author. What's an author do? What's an author do? He writes the story, don't he? He writes the story. The author. He accepted Him as author. And oh Lord, our prayer today is, Lord, would You author my life? Write the next words. Write the next words of my life. Whether it, what's the old song says? Something about friend or foe. Let it come friend or foe, all the heat of the battle, the problems of whatever it is in life, let it come friend or foe, whatever it is, Lord, You write it. I don't know how to write it myself. I don't know what I should do in my life to get there. I don't know what I'm lacking or needing, but Lord, would You write the next words of my life? Let me follow it. Oh, author my life, great Lord. Author it. Write it down the way You would have it to be. Would You write my story? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. He starts it. He authors it.
But you know what that means? He doesn't just write it. He makes it the power to be it. The power that this is a true story. You know, I believe, oh, there's been debates for a long time about abortion and all that. I don't know how anybody could really think that could be right in any way. Because the Scripture tells us that He sees us in our mother's womb. God knows us before we was ever born. God knows, and He made a plan. Do you know every decision that was made to abort a child has altered God's plan for a life? God made a plan for their life. He made a plan for their existence and what it will be. And people change that plan. And we never know. We never know. Oh, I think of children. My brother Tony was telling me last night about a young boy. I hope you don't mind me saying this. This little boy just turned 2 years old. That just about every time he preaches, this little boy will go to the altar and pray. 2 years old, and he was saying he had it in his heart to go and pray. Do you know, Lord, help us? Do you know every one of these little fellows, there's a plan? Help, Lord, help us that we don't interfere in the plan that God has made for these people's life. These little children's life. Lord, help us to nurture and give them the ultimate that we can do. But God's got a plan for us. So give thanks in all things. Give thanks. Give thanks for their problems. Have you ever thought of this? If you're delayed a moment here at the door, you're headed out the door and all of a sudden I think, hey, I need to talk, and I run. Hey, stop! Brother Leslie, stop going out the door there. And you stop. Do you ever wonder how much I altered in a few seconds, altered what your day might be? Well, think about it. I may have kept you from meeting someone that you might have met. I might have kept you from not meeting somebody that you should have, or you might meet somebody that you wouldn't have. I'm not saying that it's divine or anything. I'm just saying, have you ever considered what the slightest moment of life might change the course of life? Have you ever wondered what someone saying, God bless you, might have changed or altered the course of many, many people's lives? What about one man's decision? What one man's decision? Brother Leslie testified last night that he's been saved 56 years. He made a decision for Christ 56 years ago and was faithful. And I'm looking here seeing, there's a grandson. There's a daughter. There's a grandson here. I saw him. It altered the course of life for people. It altered the course. There's a plan made out there. And do you know we're a part of a plan that's out there, and our lives is valuable. And when God gets you into your plan, do you know that that's when God's able to make all this that happens later all into His path? It all flows in His river. I remember someone just coming up to me and saying, the Lord loves you. And it was profound in my life. It was the time, it was the right time to say that. How many times someone with the right heart and the inspiration of the Spirit of God said a word, put an arm around, hugged, visited, said some encouraging words that may have made a difference to a multitude. You're important today. The Scripture says in Isaiah 9, unto us a child is born. Would you be willing to say today that that child being born changed the world? Has there been any influence on the world since Isaiah's time of that prophecy that was made that unto us a child is born? See, that was a plan that it would go on and on. Jesus Christ being the center. I don't buy the idea of the millions and billions of years of creation. I don't buy it at all. Jesus Christ is the center of the human experience all the way through. Because from the ancient time, they looked forward to the day of Christ. It's all creation looked forward to this day of the Messiah. And from the day that He left, all creation looks back. All of it does.
A.D. Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. A.D. in the year of our Lord. A.D. We look back. All look forward. He is the center focus point of all human creation and time. Jesus Christ, the plan. The plan of our lives. I just wanted to encourage us today. Have faith in God. I feel like that the answer to what we have to face in life is faith in God. Because God wants us, He wants a faithful people for this time to carry the good news of the gospel through this very trying time. There is going to be people that need it. There's going to be people that's going to accept it. And the Lord wants us not to be with our head hung down. He don't want us to be a defeated people. He wants us to be a people with a plan. He wants us to be a people, a part of a plan. I'm a part of God's plan. And I don't know what the events might be, but I know what God's plan is for me. God's plan for me is to take this poor old country boy through life being faithful and take me to heaven to live eternity with Him. That's God's plan, and I want to go down that plan. I desire prayer that the Lord would keep me faithful. You pray for me.